Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church Podcast for Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. Today we'll be in Psalm 136. If you'd like to follow along, please go to www.gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the sermons link at the top, and then find today's manuscript. Here's Pastor John.
Other things this week, in the past week, you guys have been very gracious to us and very good, and we from the bottom of our hearts, we give thanks to you guys. We love you, and it is really good to be back today. Psalm 136. We're going to end up reading it twice today, once at the beginning, and at the end, we'll read it. We'll do it a little differently, but I'll explain at the end. But I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 136. And it'll be obvious this week as we celebrate Thanksgiving with our families and our friends. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who made the great lights, for His steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for His steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for His steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for His steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two, for His steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for His steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for His steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, the king of the Amorites, for His steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for His steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servant, for His steadfast love endures forever. It is He who remembered us in our low estate, for His steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for His steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just repeat these words, Your steadfast love endures forever. And we give thanks today, and we praise Your name, for You are good. Even when we are not good, You are good. We are creatures. You are not. You are eternal. And we worship You this morning. We pray that You give us great grace as we read the psalm and as we give thanks through the psalm. I pray that in spite of me that You would work. I pray that Jesus and Your goodness in Christ would be seen to us this morning and this week. I pray that He would increase, that I and that we would decrease. Father, we give thanks this morning and we trust in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the sermon is just The Great Thanksgiving, because in some of my studies, as I read back, the Israelites considered this psalm to, they called it the Great Thanksgiving. And it was really a song. And so they would sing it, one or a choir would sing, and then the rest of the congregation would sing. So it was meant to be sung back and forth, as even as we read His steadfast love endures forever. In every verse, we find something for which to give thanks to God for. And in every verse, we see the words, His steadfast, at least in the ESV, we see His steadfast love endures forever. Now, a couple things before we begin about our Hebrew, or about our English translation, and then what we see in the Hebrew. In English, we have, at least in the ESV, His steadfast love endures forever. So, five words, or four, let's see. Anyway, five or six words there. But in the Hebrew, it is only two words. One of those words is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it's chesed, or chesed. C-H, if I can say that right, chesed. And the other word is olam. Now, the word olam just means forever, eternal. And so that's what His love is. Something's happening for eternity. Okay, so that's pretty easy to translate. But when we come to the word chesed, it can be translated many different ways. And if you've got the King James, you've got mercy. If you've got the New American Standard, what is it, Greg, there again, you remember? Loving kindness. It can be translated as just mere mercy. It can be translated as kindness. It can be translated as favor. It can be translated as love, pity, goodness, or loving kindness. And actually, among other things, it can be other ways it can be translated. And connected with this word, when we think about this word, when it speaks about God, there's a deep understanding that God has a great desire to do something, to act in such a way. So with this in mind, when we come to this verse and this word in the Hebrew, outside of the names for God Himself, I'm not sure that we can find a word with more meaning in all of the Bible than the Hebrew word chesed. It has that much meaning as a way to describe the character of God acting toward His people, which is why we see this in this psalm. And so we fall short when we translate it merely as love, or only as kindness, or even loving kindness, or if we just translate it simply as mercy. It means so much more. It's like the word glory. When we say God is glory, what do we mean by that? Well, it's hard to say what we mean by that unless we look at creation and see the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens and everything that God has created. And then we go, okay, now I'm getting a picture of what glory is. And so this psalm is giving us a picture of the character of God and what this means, this word means, chesed, and what it looks like. If I were to define it this morning, I would say that it is God's unending, loving, merciful benevolence toward an undeserving people. That's the way I would define it. So with that in mind, thinking about that word, we're going to go through this psalm this morning, and I have eight reasons, and a lot of them are going to overlap, so we're not going to hit every verse. But I have eight reasons why we give thanks today. Now, some of these reasons I will just mention. I won't say very much at all. And other things, I'll say quite a bit more. And then we'll end this morning and get ready for the week by reading the psalm together. First truth this morning that we will give thanks for is this. We give thanks for the goodness of God. Look at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. This first truth really captures everything that flows from this psalm. God is good. God is the definition of goodness. For all goodness flow from Him. We do not know what good is unless it comes from God, for He is the definition of good. God is good to create, and He is good to take care of us this morning as His creation. He is good to send rain He is good to send sunshine. And there is, I forget exactly where it's at, verse 25. He gives food to all flesh. He doesn't just care for us, though that is what I think the psalm is primarily speaking of, God's care for His people. But He also gives rain and sunshine, and He cares for His creation. And God is good to us to give us such a place to live. God is good to give us everything that He gives us, particularly as Christians, the giving of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So this morning we give thanks for the goodness of God. Second thing, we give thanks for His sovereignty. This has been the topic of a couple points or of truths in the past few weeks. But look at verses 2 and 3. Give thanks to the God of gods. Big G, little g there. God of gods, and give thanks to the Lord of lords. If there is anything that we find comfort in this morning, it is the fact that God is the Lord. God is sovereign over all things. And so when tribulations come and trials come and sickness and death and wars and famines, changing times, whatever comes our way, this one truth we give thanks to God for, especially because it brings us great comfort to know God is in control. And in this we find great comfort. Another truth that we give thanks for. We give thanks because God is unique. Look at verse 4. To Him alone. We see the psalmist says, to Him alone who does great wonders. And then in verse 26, we give thanks to the God of heaven. When the psalmist remembers the wondrous acts of God in the life of Israel, he gives thanks because God is the only one who could do such wonders and work for them. For He is not a little God of this earth. He is the God of heaven. Brothers and sisters, we are creatures. We are of this earth. And the things we do are of this earth. And we are limited in what we can do. But God is not like us in this regard. He is holy, completely other. He is heavenly, we could say. Now, this doesn't mean He merely lives in heaven. Of course He lives in heaven, but He lives everywhere. He inhabits all of His creation. But He is completely different. To say that God is in heaven means that He is eternal. We are not. I am frail. You are frail. I am so influenced by the things of this world. And even I'm reminded of this even in the last couple weeks in my own life, as how frail and how dependent upon this earth that I am. But God is our Creator. He stands outside of our creation, His creation. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. Nothing catches Him by surprise. And for this, we give thanks. We also give thanks because He does great wonders. Look at verse 4 again. To Him who alone does great wonders. We see it throughout this psalm. Verse 5, He made the heavens. Verse 6, He spread out the earth. Verse 7, He made the great lights. Speaking of the sun and the moon and the stars. Verse 10, He struck down the firstborn of Egypt. That is speaking of the plague there that comes where He strikes down all of the firstborn there before He brought Israel out of Egypt. And then He brings them out of Egypt, verse 11. Verses 13 and 14, He divides the Red Sea and He makes Israel pass right through the midst of the Red Sea. Verse 15, He overthrew Pharaoh and his host. Verse 16, He led His people through the wilderness, through the desert. Verse 17, He struck down great kings. Verses 18 to 22, He killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. And then He gave their land to Israel as a heritage. Every book of the Bible is full of the wonderful works of God. When we read it, that's what we get. One of the things that's so wonderful about reading the Word of God, it's almost like every page is full of some wonder that He does. And I often think, just for the skeptic out there, this is a book of history, and it tells us about the acts and wonderful works of God, but what can we do with all of the... You either have to say that that in every single case these are lies, or that they're actually true and someone is recounting the wonderful works of God. And that's what we see when we read the Bible. Starting with creation, moving through mighty acts of power, and then moving to all the miracles we see in the Scriptures, we praise God because He is the one who works great wonders. Number 5. We give thanks this morning because God protects His people. Look at verse 11. He brought Israel out of Egypt. And then in verses 13 and 14, He divided the Red Sea in two, made Israel pass through the midst of it. Then in verse 16, He led His people through the wilderness and He protected them. And then in verses 17 to 22, He fights for them and defeats many, many kings. Then He gives them a land. And for all of these things, the psalmist is giving thanks. Now, let me stop for a moment and just ask a question. Does God always protect His people? It's a good question. Because if you think about it from one perspective, we know that later on, with the king of Babylon in the history of Israel, he will come in with his armies. He will destroy Jerusalem. Many will be killed. Others will be carried away into captivity. And we know that after many, many years of preaching through the prophets, through their disobedience, God then judges Israel. And He sends them off into captivity. But the answer to the question still, does God always protect His people? From another perspective, absolutely. Yes, He does. But this does not mean that we will be protected from all of the consequences of sin in this life. Death still comes to us. Sickness still comes to us. Trouble. Which of us does not have trouble or knows somebody in our family or someone close who has trouble right now in some way, shape, or form? Of course, all of these things still come to the people of God. We still suffer ungodly policies of governments. As I say often, as the Scripture says a few times, life is short and full of troubles. But God still protects His people, particularly His remnant. He will not let those who are in Christ perish, but He will lead us all the way to heaven. 1 John 5:18 says, "We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him." This truth must bring us great comfort. We know that as we follow His Word, do His will in this life, God will work these things out for our good. It's hard and as difficult as these things come our way. And just by way of reminder, brothers and sisters, the world does not have such protection. This morning, if you are not a Christian, you do not have the protection as being one who is in Christ, who is being led all the way down the road to heaven. And so I would urge you and ask you to turn unto Christ and be saved. And do not wait any longer. We must remember this. Truth number 6 that we give thanks for this morning. We give thanks because God leads us. He doesn't just protect us. He leads us. Look at verse 16. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. Now, if you think about what happened in those 40 years in the wilderness, there's really not anything we can really compare that with physically. for the miracles and the way that God protected and led His people there, and all the mercies that He showed them, and even we're told that their shoes didn't even wear out. And lots of things there where He led them to water, He led them to food, manna comes down from heaven, He protects them from outside kings and outside forces. On and on for 40 years we can go. And they could have, they should have been destroyed at every turn, because we know that they were very disobedient, even in the desert. And many of them, most of them, did not have faith. But God leads them, and the psalmist is remembering this leadership. The prophet Isaiah remembered those days as he remembered back. Isaiah 63:11. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Today, we give thanks to God because He leads us. He is the great shepherd of His people. How many of you know Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me ask, is there anything in this life through which and by which He does not give you leadership? I think if we have to say, of course not. He leads us, and there's nothing He does not provide for us. We might turn our backs and turn our heads and our hearts away from His leadership, but He is there leading us and guiding us. He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. We have His Word, brothers and sisters. We have the Holy Spirit. And all of these blessings come down to us as God leads us through the Son. Number 7, we give thanks this morning because God remembers us in our lowly state. Now, look at verse 23. It is He who remembered us in our low state. I think as we've gone through the psalm so far, it's mostly talking about these outward acts of God leading His people and all of these wonderful works that God did in the people of Israel. But when we come to verse 23, I think we start to begin to understand the word chesed that I spoke about in the beginning. God looks down, if we can say that, on our lowly state. And what does He see when He looks down upon you? Well, of course He sees that we are creatures. What is man that You are mindful of him? It's amazing. We are creatures. We are from the dust. We are of this world. And He looks down and He sees us as creatures. But there is more. Not only are we creatures, we are, since the fall, we are sinners. And when God looks down upon Israel, what does He see? When they are in the desert, He looks down upon an idolatrous people who are going in rebellion, in their own way, lack of faith. And in this way, I think the psalmist is understanding or thinking about this word chesed, as it is often translated. If you've got the King James there, you'll see very clearly mercy. Because really, we do not have what we have from God unless it comes down to us in mercy. Because He does not have to save us. The ESV says, for His steadfast love. It's a steadfast love and mercy down upon us. And again, the King James, for His mercy endures forever. Brothers and sisters, God does not have to save us. He doesn't have to save anyone. He's not obliged or obligated to do so. This is why God's love is understood in the form of mercy and can be called loving kindness. And it's not as though in our sin that we in and of ourselves are pleading for the mercy of God. I think of, even as I listened last week as the elder spoke, thank you very much for doing that. It was very, very good. And if maybe my mind is going, but I'm not sure, but if I remember right, I think, Jimmy, you spoke about Romans 5:8. Just for a moment there, which remind us, but God commands or shows His love towards us. And while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Brothers and sisters, when God saved me, I was going my own way. I was doing my own thing. I was enjoying His gifts in this life, and I was not acknowledging Him as the one who had given them to me. I think of the Apostle Paul. As he considers his life, as he looks back to what his life was like before the mercy of God came to him in Christ, and he says to Timothy, listen to these words, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. And then he says, though formerly I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. Paul was an angry man. But then he says, but I received mercy. That's what we receive. If we are Christians today, we receive mercy. We're no different than Paul. We just have different sins and different issues. But I received mercy, Paul says, because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Brothers and sisters, I certainly feel that way very often. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in Him for eternal life. To the King of all the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, do not forget this week, we give thanks because God looks down upon our lowly estate and He considers us as sinners. Finally this morning, number 8, we give thanks because God delivers His people. Look at verse 24. And rescued us from our foes. The psalmist is remembering all the times God rescued Israel from their enemies. All of the times. We can just go through the Old Testament and recount time after time after time as Israel's enemies come upon them and God delivers them. Now, of course, the great example is the deliverance out of Egypt, out of slavery. Verse 11, God brought Israel out from among them. Verses 13 and 14, to Him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it. Verse 15, but He overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. And then, after 40 years in the wilderness, He delivers them also again from the wilderness to a land. And in the process, he strikes down great kings. And one of my favorite truths, it baffles me that God would give nations for Israel. And we see that over and over. Well, today, in the same kind of way, we remember and we give thanks for a deliverance that God has given to us. And it is not a deliverance from Egypt. It is deliverance from sin. It is our redemption from sin in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14, Paul says this. He tells us, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1, we read, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Today we are most grateful for the deliverance that God has given to us in His Son, as He sent His Son to die on the cross, where He took our punishment upon Himself, and He condemned sin, even as Tommy read earlier, in the flesh, fulfilling the requirements of the law. In all ways He was holy and sinless, and He laid down His life on the cross. And in all ways He took upon Himself the sins of His people, and He exchanges His righteousness for our sin. And because of that, God looks down upon Him and He sees us who are united to Him by faith, by the Holy Spirit. This is the gospel, and this is the great deliverance. And for this we give thanks. Through this Psalm 8, just 8, there's so many more, but we do this week. And so I would like to encourage all of us this week, as we think about if we meet with family, if we don't, if at least we'll be with our immediate families if we don't go out for Thanksgiving. But remember these things this week. And also, we didn't mention it this morning, Jill, but we want to remember your dad. just speaking to Jill this week, I don't know if everyone has read the emails, but her dad is having a hard time right now. And the first thing that Jill said to me on the phone this week when I called and to talk to her, she said, my dad's always there. He's always faithful. And I know Reed, and he is. He's faithful. He takes care of you, and he takes care of your sisters, and he takes care of your family, and he takes care of their families, and he takes care of a lot of people's families. And he's always there. But the first thing she said after that was, that does not compare to the faithfulness of our Father who is in heaven. What a picture. What words that just encouraged me. And that's what I think the psalmist is doing here in Psalm 136. There's our God. There He is. All of these things He does for us. And if I could say the same thing about my father or my mother, or many of us could do the same. But nothing compares. These are only pictures of our Father who is faithful to the very end. Look at the last verse. Give thanks to the God of heaven. He is the only one who can be eternally faithful, because He is the only one who is eternal. And we can trust Him this morning, and we can trust Him this week. and we can trust Him to lead us all the way to heaven. So with that in mind, I would like for us to finish. We're going to reread. That's how we're going to end this morning. And then, Tommy, you can come up and lead us in a closing song. But what I'm going to do, we're going to use the ESV. So even if you have another version, I would ask you to just go ahead and repeat the words from the ESV. I'm going to read the first part, and then you all will read the second part. So I will read, and you will say, "For His steadfast love endures forever." And so let's read this together as we end this morning. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. To Him who by understanding made the heavens. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters. To Him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day. The moon and stars to rule over the night. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the wilderness. To Him who struck down the great kings and killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage. A heritage to Israel, His servant. It is He who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven."
Heavenly Father, we just once again give thanks, Father, that we serve an eternal God. Father, You are the only thing in our lives that is sure. And Father, in a world that seems sometimes to be falling apart and in on us, Father, may we rest in that fact, Father, that You are sovereign, that You are in control, and Father, that You are not surprised by anything that goes on in our lives. Father, may we find rest in that. Father, we're so thankful this morning that we serve a God like You. Father, we thank You this morning again for Your Son, Jesus, whom You sent to die on a cross. Father, we are thankful that we find forgiveness through His shed blood. Father, I pray that, especially this week, that You would constantly remind us of Your goodness. And Father, not only this week, but every week after. Father, go with us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also join us at the South Row Inn YMCA, 950 Kimball Road in China Grove, North Carolina. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for fellowship, and service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.